It's a schus and an honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights on my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. This week's Parsha is Vayera. Such a jam-packed Parsha, and we're going to do like we always do every week. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yesod, that major foundation point that we could bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah tells us in Perek Vav, Pasuk Beis, Vayidaber Elohim El Moshe Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. And Hashem speaks to Moshe and he says to him, I am Hashem. Ve'ero El Avraham El Yitzchak Ve'El Yaakov Bekel Shakai Ushmi Hashem Lo Nadati Lohem. And I appear to Avraham, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov with the name of Kel Shakai, with my name Hashem. I didn't make myself known to them. We know this week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to save Klal Yisrael with the guidance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's coming to Klal Yisrael and he's saying, Hashem is going to take you out. And right away in the beginning of the Parsha, we're introduced to the Dalad Lashonos of Geula. We know the Gemara tells us in Arvei Pesachim in the 10th Perek, and we know that we have Dalad Kosos, we have four Kosos. And the Yerushalmi brings down, Yerushalmi in Perig Yud, Yerushalmi Aleph in Pesachim, says that we have the Arba Lashonos of Geula, Vehotzeti, that we're being taken out, Vehitzalti, as the Torah tells us in Perig Vav, Pasuk Vav, Vehitzalti Eschem Amodasam. And then we have the Ga'alti, that he's redeeming us, and then the next Pasuk, Vilakachti Eschem Lila'am. Asks all the Mefarshim, what does the Dalid Lashonos of Geula, the four Lashonos of Geula, why is it represented by four kosos? Why specifically four cups of wine? I understand four and four, but why is that the Dalid kosos? Furthermore, we'll call it 1B. We know the Mishnah in Pesachim says that you are allowed to drink from cup number one and cup number two. However, the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to drink from cup three to four. You know, like you're in the middle of Leila Seder. This is good Seder Torah, right? You're in Leila Seder and you're very hungry. It's been very long and you're like, you're dipping your finger and licking the grape juice because everyone loves their grape juice. Even though we do get a little cheap on our grape juice, you know, we get a little cheap on it. But you're allowed to drink, right? You tell your father, Dad, I'm gonna drink that cup. What do you mean? You have to wait for the Seder. Right? You got to save the grape juice. But the halacha is that between 1 and 2 you're allowed, but 3 and 4 you're not. Why is that? Why does the Mishnah say in Pesachim that between 3 and 4 you're not? We're introduced to the seven makas. We know next week's parshas we're going to have the last three. And we're all thinking the songs. We're thinking Pesach time, not so far away. Right, all the different makos. And Pesach time, I happen to love Pesach, because anyone's heard any of my shirim when I talk about Pesach, it's the time that my kids, they love it the most. I go out, and I'm a little strange, they tell me. I go out, and I take my kids out, and I pretend there's a pyro, and I make them make pyramids, and that's when my kids are getting older, like, Tati, you're a little weird, what are you doing? But they get into it with my little kids. It's a lot of fun. And we take all the Esther Makos, and, you know, we have frogs, and we have blood. It's amazing. But if you look in Parakhes, Pasuk Beis, it's talking about the idea of the Svaradim. We know that we have frogs. Dam Svardeya Kinim. But if you look in the Torah tells us in Parakhes, Pasuk Beis, it says, Vayet Aharon Es Yado, Almeinei Mitzrayim, Vata'al HaSvardeya. And they hit the frog. So the question, the Gemara says, why frog? Frogs. Why frog? So the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Adav Samach Zayin, Machlokas Matun Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Akiva, was it one frog or was it a lot of frogs? Says the great Rabbi Akiva, it was one frog. And they kept on hitting the frog. And then more frogs would come out. And then they would hit the frog. And more frogs would come out. And the big question that the great stipler asks, stop hitting the frog. If more frogs are coming out, don't you realize that when you're hitting the frog and there's more frogs coming out, stop hitting the frog? I asked this question, I think, last year. I give a shout out to Mr. Rothberg, Shroggy's dad. He loves his cash show, the Stipler's cash show. Just stop hitting the frog. And question three, again, so much to talk about. Again, sometimes I throw in a lot of terror in the actual questions, but we have three official questions. Is that the last of the mock of this week's party show is Bolad. And Moshe says, listen, Mitzrim, enough. I'm going to give you Bolad. You have the ability to go and you can bring your animals in. And they're just so stubborn. But we see through all of the makos that it just keeps on happening. Why are they so stubborn? How come they're not learning? 6 for 6. He's going to hit that 7th. So why are they just not learning? And furthermore, there's a very interesting medrash. The medrash says that Paro was having his plan. His plan was to annihilate the Jews. And he had 3 advisors. You know where their advisors were? It was Eov, it was Bilam, and it was Yisrael. Eov, says the medrash, kept quiet. Bilam got involved, and Yisrael ran away. What is this medrash talking about? So let's just review. We have, let's say, 4 questions. Let's just review major questions in this week's parsha. Question number 1 was Dalet Kosos, Vehotseisi, Vehitzalti, Vegaalti, Velakachti. We know the Yerushalmi says that it's the Dalet Kosos. What is the representation of the 4 Lashonos of Geula and the Dalet Kosos? Why are you not allowed to drink between Kos 3 and 4? Question 2, the 2nd of the Makos Svardeya. How come it's Svardeya? We know there's 1 frog, but they kept on hitting the frog. Just stop hitting the frog. Stop. Why the Mitzvah? They're so stuck. Furthermore, in Barad, Moshe Rabbeinu gives them a warning. Don't bring your animals inside. What are you doing? And still, they're so stubborn. The stubbornness of Mitzrayim, the stubbornness of Paro. What is the stubbornness about? And lastly, what is this medrash that there are 3 advisors? Eov was quiet. Bilam got involved and Yisro ran away. Comes along the great Meshech Chochma, and then Meshech Chochma says beautifully, the great Meshech Chochma, who was Remeir Simcha Divinz, Gadol Hador, he lived in 1843 to 1926, he was the Gadol Hador, and he says that the Arba Lashonos of Geula, the Hotseiti V'Hitzalti V'Ga'alti V'Lakachti, represents specifically the Dalet Kosos. Why? Says the Meshech Chochma beautiful. Vehotseisi. This is a take-home Meshech Chochma you could bring into your Seder. Vehotseisi. Vehotseisi, says a Meshech Chochma, represents the idea of Kiddush. Hashem says, you are my chosen nation. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take Vehotseisi. You're going to leave. You're going to be taken out. Kedoshim Tihiyu. I'm going to make you separate from all the nations. You are my chosen nation. That represents Kiddush. Because Kiddush is the idea that I want to sanctify myself. We're in Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. The first mitzvah of the Torah. HaChodesh Hazeh. Because we have the ability of Kiddusha. We have the ability of sanctification. Because Hashem loves us. And He gives us the power. Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. So that's the first idea. Vehotseisi. I'm going to take you. Because you have Kiddusha. And that's represented by Kiddush. Then the Meshech Chochma says, level number 2, Vihitzalti. The Medrash says that Klal Yisrael was on such a high level. We know last week he spoke, they didn't change their clothing, they didn't change their names. There's a Medrash that says that Klal Yisrael didn't speak Lashon Hara on one another. They were all together. That's why the Erev Rav, Dasam Aviram, Moshe Rabbeinu went so strong in the Erev Rav. Why? Because there was total Achdus. Says the Meshech Chochma, Vihitzalti. You know why they were saved? Because there was Achdus. Where do we see the Achdus? Says the Meshech Chochma in Birchas HaMazon. How do we see in Birchas HaMazon? Because we say in Birchas HaMazon in benching, Mitzvah Deoraisa. Every Rishon says that benching is definitely Deoraisa. Because where do we see? Hazan Es HaOlam Kulo. Sometimes we see others, but we don't want to be jealous of anyone else. We want them, everyone, to have good things. And if you don't speak Lashon Hara of another person, and you care about another person, and you don't speak bad about them, you're showing Achdus, because you're saying, wow, God, look, you gave that guy that, you give me this, wow, there's Achdus. Says the Meshech Chochma, that's represented in Berchus HaMazon. Diga'alti, and I'm going to redeem you. That's representative of the Magid. Magid. What are we doing by Magid? We're telling over the story. We're showing that we're free. We were avodim. Imagine being a slave for 210 years, giving up hope, thinking there's no way out, and then getting out. But it's about passing on the Mesorah, the tradition, giving it over. We know that we start this idea, maskil beginus mesayim b'shvach, which we're low, we're avodim, and then we get out, and then we mesayim b'shvach, we conclude with praising Hashem. You know, I was able to see real avdus. You know what I was able to see? When I was in college, my grandfather, Rabamzer Olva Shalom, was a tremendous Maritzei Torah. He taught in YU for over 50 years, a tremendous Talmud Chacham. My grandfather, Rabamzer, and he was also the chaplain in Rikers Island. So when I was in college, I was taking a sociology class, and I got friendly with the professor. He actually came to my engagement party, Professor Redos, and we took a class trip to Rikers Island. We got a whole bus in college. We took a whole bus to the jail. It was unbelievable. It was security and everything, and we went in, and you could see a lot of people that just want to be in jail because they have all their food taken care of them. They have, you know, they have classes. They like my grandfather very much, and there were some people that were not Jewish even taking these classes. And my grandfather told me that there was one man, he kept on being freed, and he kept on stealing to get back. Why? Because he was abdus. He had no freedom. He didn't have the ability. He just loved it in jail because, you know, he had food coming. But there was abdus. But we're not avadim. In the Pesach Seder, we become free people. Magid, we tell over that we were slaves. We were physically enslaved, and we were all spiritually enslaved. And we're able to become free. That is represented as the idea of the Magid, of the third cup of Vaga'alti, that we have redemption. However, what's the ikkar? What's the main? The main is the Velakachti, when we're making ourselves into a nation, when we're getting the Torah, when we're getting Eretz Yisrael. That, as we know, that we have the fourth cup on the Hallel, on the Nirtza, praising Hashem for all the greatness that He gives us, able to be in Eretz Yisrael, have Eretz Yisrael, having Torah, having the ability to have religious freedom. That's Vilakachti. So the Arba Lashonos of Geula, according to this beautiful Meshech Chachma, represent the four cups of wine, showing each a different dimension. I saw beautiful, my grandfather used to always say this, I had this chus, me and my family used to always go, he was scholar in residence, different places. One time we went to Cancun, awesome. And I remember the guy coming over to me, I became friendly with the guy, and his son wanted to go swimming. So I said, listen, I don't swim on Yantif. He's like, oh, you think you're better than Moses? I'm like, why do you think I'm better than Moses? He's like, Moses went into the sea, and the sea split. You think you're better than Moses, because you don't even go into the water. I said, listen, Moses had the sea split for him. I don't think the water is going to split for me. You know what I'm saying? He didn't really buy it, but whatever. Okay, so he told me this word, and I saw this word in Rav Asher Weiss's Sefer on the Haggadah. Why? Why are you not allowed to drink between the third and the fourth cup? You could drink between the first and second, but you can't drink between the third and fourth. It's beautiful, according to this Meshech Chachma. Because we're trying to show, bridge the gap, the ga'alti. We have physical freedom. We're not avodim anymore. But it's not just about physical freedom. It's vilakachti. And we can't drink wine between the two because we're showing that there's no separation. You could have physical freedom, but if you don't make yourself having spiritual freedom, you know how many people in this world have physical freedom? They could do whatever they want, but they don't have spiritual freedom. They're entrapped by their Yetzirah. But we have spiritual freedom, so you're not allowed to drink that wine. What's the idea of Svardeya? Stop hitting the frog. They're hitting the frog. More frogs come out. Hitting the frog. Don't you realize that there's a problem here? Don't you realize you should stop hitting the frog? Says the Stipler Gaon, takeaway message. And we have to apply it to our lives, which we'll talk about. Says the Stabler Gaon, sometimes we get so involved in something, sometimes we get so angry, We get so upset. Things aren't going our way. We want things to be going our way. We think we're in charge, not Hashem. We're the ones in charge. And we get so upset when things don't work out. And then we lose it. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, quoting the Gemara in Shabbos, that a person has to stay so far away from anger that a person always needs the Shvil Hazav. He always has to go middle approach, except two things that he's not allowed to do, Gaiva and anger. And the Pashup Shot is, why those two? Is because when a person thinks he's the man and everything is about him, anger also, sometimes we lose ourselves because we think, I'm in charge. If it's not working out for me. And sometimes we lose ourselves so much, we lose all reasoning. The reasoning is just thrown out the window. And we just lose ourselves. Just last night, I was trying to put my 2.5-year-old to sleep, right? Terrific twos. They say terrible twos, chas v'shalom, terrific twos. I'm believing my little Chaim Zev. And I'm like, go to sleep, I have so much to do. And he looks at me, because little kids, they know MS, and they say the MS, and he looks at me and says, why are you so angry? I said, I'm not angry. He said, yeah, you're angry. I said, Chaim, I'm not angry. He's like, why are you yelling at me? I said, Chaim, I want you to go to sleep. Why are you yelling at me? You angry man! So I'm like fighting with my 2.5-year-old, so what should I have done? Thank God I control myself a little. I thought it was cute, you know, sometimes you get, like, if it was like a 25-year-old guy coming at me like that, yeah, bring it on, baby, right? So I'm like, I'm not echi man. He's like, you echi man, you yell at me. So I said, Chaim, I yummy man. You yummy man, Chaim. So he looks at me and says, you echi man. I say, no, Chaim, you yummy man. So then he says, Tati, you yummy man. Mommy, yummy man. Svi Menachem, yummy man. I said, Chaim, you're yummy man. Go to sleep. That was my story. What happened? Well, that was really a true story. What happened? Yummy. Right? Because I was getting angry, but I caught myself. I'm yelling at my 2.5-year-old to go to sleep. Why? Because I was trying to say, I have a lot to do. You're bothering me, little man. But I lost myself. But I was able to control myself with the Musar of a 2.5-year-old to get the best Musar. So why Svardeya, says the great Stifler? Why Svardeya? Because they lost themselves again and again and again, says the Malbim. It says the Russian, Vayichazek Lev Paro, and Paro's heart was hardened. Why? Because he was so hard. He couldn't strengthen himself. He got himself in a zone and he was stuck. He was stuck in his habits. And the Rambam even says in Shmona Prakim, his parish on Pirkei Avos, that he lost his Bechira. Again, he's going to get punished. All the Rishonim are going to get punished. The Hitler is Achshemos, right? There's a discussion about it. But they lost Bechira, but still, they're going to get punished. They became such big Rishayim. But they lost themselves. They couldn't gain control. So that's the idea by Chazek Elei Paro. What was so bad about Barad? You know what Barad was about? That Moshe said, listen, Mitzrayim, do you see what's going on? God runs the world. You think you're in charge? You're not in charge. God is running the show here. And still they weren't able to, in their thick heads, they weren't able to get it in. They weren't able to get into their heads. I saw a beautiful refrain writes in his Sefer, page 97, if you want to look. Says refrain, he says amazing. The Medrash that I just quoted in the beginning, there were three advisors, right? We know these personalities because these are personalities of Eov, one of the Sifrei Eov, right? Machlokes is Melvasser, who wrote it, Eov. Then we have Bilam, right? Bilam with the talking donkey, he tried to curse Klal Yisrael. And then we have Yisrael, the great father-in-law, Moshe Rabbeinu, a whole parsha, loving the Torah. Says refrain, Bilam got involved and he got punished and he was destroyed. And everyone, when you look at a Bilam, you say, wow, Bilam, you're crazy. Imagine, you're going to curse Klal Yisrael, and every single time that you go curse, you bless him, right? Matov Alecha Yaakov, we say it every single morning when we go into shul. Wow, great Klal. Every single time he opened his mouth, he was trying to curse them, and then he blessed them. And then all of a sudden, what happened? The donkey started talking to him. And guess what? He still wasn't moved by that. He wasn't moved by the donkey. He says, Rabbeinu Bachai, how are you not moved when a donkey talks to you, right? If any of you guys feel that a donkey is talking to you, get yourself somewhere else, all right? If a donkey is talking to you, in a couple of years, cars are going to be talking to us, I hear. But if you ever feel that a donkey is talking to you, get yourself a little help, right? But still, Bilam was not able to move from where he was. He was so stubborn, like we're saying, because he's stuck in his ways. So many people, or some of us, were so stuck in our ways. And we're laughing at a Bilam. That how could he not grow? How could Bilam not grow from a donkey talking? Hashem, don't you see Hashem? Our friend gives a great Musar point. He says, the advancements of this world, how Hashem has given us so much more time. Do you know, 150 years ago, even less than that, they had to go to the river to wash their clothing. They didn't have the foods that are... And Hashem has given us such brachas, the advances in technology. All right, last week I spoke about my father. He was involved in Watson, the talking computer, and the advances every day. We're going to have, you know, the Jetsons, and there's going to be cars flying all over the place. It's going to be awesome, right? It was just funny. Another, I always say, the thing you remember most is stories, right? So what did Bloom talk about? He got into a fight with his 2.5-year-old. He called him a he-man, right? So now listen to this. On Shabbos, I didn't even tell you guys this story, right? On Shabbos, so my parents, such good people, Baruch Hashem, they helped me and my family so much. Give a shout out to my parents. Oh, what do you want from me? No, Chas V'Shalom, they do so much, yeah? So they got us this thing for one of my daughters. They gave us Alexa. You guys know Alexa. So you ask Alexa, she plays the song. So in the morning, Shabbos morning, my little 2.5-year-old, Chaim's getting a lot of shout outs, he takes the Alexa and he puts it into the wall. And I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing? And he knows, he's a smart little boy, Leonhard, and he says, Alexa, play, he loves Hanukkah songs. And Alexa didn't understand what he was saying. So then Alexa starts saying, do you want to purchase this for $3.99? I'm like, no, don't say yes. So he didn't say yes, but then Alexa heard him say play songs, and all of a sudden, Alexa started playing this lady called Lady Gaga. In the middle of Shabbos, and it's like blasting from my house, Lady Gaga. I don't know what Lady Gaga is, maybe you guys know, you do. Yeah, so Lady Gaga, and blasting, and I'm like, oh my God, what's gonna happen here? And then Chaim got like, he got all nervous, and he pulls it out, thank God, right? Well, why am I telling you this story? Because it's cute. But it's also, the advances are done, you can tell a thing to talk, and it'll play your songs. So says we're a friend, though, we have so much more time. We have so much, there's so much advancements, but we're so stubborn. We're still stuck in our ways. But we have to break out of our ways. That's what we're getting from this parsha, that we have to break out. You know, I started an amazing thing with the shir. My shir and maseret. We started an amazing mifsa that everyone has to take upon, again, coming to shir more on time and different things. But one thing that everyone's working on is taking one thing that's a struggle for them. A person that it might be hard to go to Maariv. A person that it's hard to him to go to Shacharis. A person that he goes to sleep at 3 in the morning and he wants to function. He's trying to go to sleep at 12:30. A person that wants to work on his Lashon Hara. And these are all hard things. But when a person shows themselves that they could change because they want something more, they want a closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then there's nothing greater than that. And that's what we see. That's what we learn from this week's parsha, from a stubbornness of Paro. So Bilam was stuck in his ways. But Yisro was a Kohen Midian. He had everything. Everything was going for him. But still, he wanted truth. And since he wanted truth, the Rambam writes, he went from this religion to that religion. And then he realized, wow, look at my son-in-law, Moshe. I see the truth of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he changed himself. Not easy. Imagine being the prince of Midian, and you change. Because we're people of change. We're people of, although sometimes things get hard, and sometimes we get stuck and start hitting the frog, or getting stuck in whatever we're stuck in. But we have the ability of change. And that's the idea of Hotseisi, that I'm coming out, Vihitzalti. Right, I'm going to be saved, v'ga'alti, I'm going to have a ge'ula, but a ge'ula is only with something spiritual, something real. Not what we think is real, but the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Torah, working on our chesed, working on our midos, trying to make ourselves better. And just to conclude with the following amazing story. I heard this story a couple of times. I heard it from a Pesach Krohn. Amazing story. There was a guy. It's always about that guy. There was a guy. There were a couple people in Mea Shearim. They were very poor. And they heard there was a very wealthy person in Italy that was a big gevir, and he would help out a lot of Jews. So there were a couple people that were, they couldn't have put food on their table. And they did, they worked out with each other, and a man, a true story, by the name of Shmuel Rosenfeld, was picked. He was an outgoing person. Everyone chipped in. They were going to get him a flight, right? Flights. Imagine people flew before Corona, and they were going to fly him out to Italy, and hopefully he's going to get a meeting with this guy and try to hopefully raise a little money. Gets a ticket. He goes out to Italy, and he's able to get a meeting with this guy, this very wealthy gevir, and he goes into his house, and this house is a palace, like one of the biggest houses in Italy, and it's magnificent. It's beautiful. And he's looking around and he sees the silver and the gold and he sees everything. And right in the middle, there's a flask that's broken. And he keeps on looking at it like, there's like millions of dollars worth of stuff here. And there's like a broken glass in the middle of the whole shelf. He doesn't get it. So he's an outgoing guy. He's talking to this wealthy person. And he says, I have a strange question to ask you. What is this? So he says, I'll tell you a story within a story. I went to Italy. My grandfather had a major business. I went to Italy to help him. He taught me the trade, and I was doing amazing. We were doing great work with my grandfather. My grandfather was a very religious man. I went to shul. I learned with him, and I was able to keep the business. Out of nowhere, my grandfather had a heart attack. He passed away, and I took over the business. Little by little, I was really doing well. I was doing amazing. I found a wife and started a family, but little by little, my family wasn't there. I was in Italy. My Judaism started slipping. And I wasn't keeping Shabbos. I wasn't doing anything. One day, I was walking back from work, and I hear a little boy crying. And the boy's crying. And I wanted to ignore it, but he was really like an intense cry. And I have a heart. And I went over to the boy and said, is everything okay? And it was a little Jewish boy. I connected, because I'm Jewish. And I said, is everything okay? He said, all I have is a little flask. It's Hanukkah. All I have is a little flask of oil. My parents saved up. We don't have so much money. And I was bringing it back to them, and I slipped, and I cracked. The glass cracked. And I don't know what to do. My parents don't have any money. We've been waiting for this Hanukkah. We've been waiting so long, such a special time. And this wealthy person said, okay, no problem. Here, I'll give you enough money for 50 flasks. Don't worry. And this person said, wow, it's Hanukkah. I forgot all about Hanukkah. I forgot about all my Judaism. And he said, whoa, where am I going with myself? Where am I going with my life? I have all the money in the world, but where is my life? And he took Musar from this, and he took that flask, and he started learning more, and he started getting more religious, and he started bringing it into his family with his wife. And then he started learning Torah. And he started changing. He said, I put that flask because that flask showed me that I could change. Even though I started one way and then I changed, I could always change. And Baruch Hashem, I'm back. I'm back on. And of course, I want to help you and all the people in Mea Shearim. I'll give you what you need. That's a tremendous story, because that's a story that shows us that whatever level a person is on, a person could always do more. We learn from this parasha, this idea that we could connect to the Rabbona Shalom, we can make him part of our lives, learn from Mitzrayim, learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, like last week, the Hakaras HaTov. Always give Hakaras HaTov to your parents. So much what they've given to us. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should just keep on growing together. Mamish building ourselves. And Be'ezus Hashem, you should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos Parshas Vayera.